And greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. I too seek an interest in your prayers as Lord, that the Lord would speak to our hearts this morning. For a message, as Brother Anthony called me, I hadn't been thinking about preaching this morning, and Brother Anthony called me last evening, and my mind started going, and I've chosen to preach a sermon that I preached at Lakeview last week, the first evening, and the title is Our Great God. You can turn with me to Psalm 139. I'd like to read this psalm, and we'd like to look at just a nutshell this morning of our great God, and who God is, and who we are in relation to Him. I find that very inspiring in my own life as I think about God. And we'll read this psalm in just a few moments. This past week, maybe you saw it in the news, maybe you didn't, but there was a man that went missing. He had his vehicle was parked at the Middle Creek Wildlife, up in the Middle Creek Wildlife area. I think it may have been at the tourist building there, I'm not sure exactly. But his vehicle was parked there, and he was not able to be found. There was much effort put into finding him. There was air support, they brought in dogs, they had a lot of sophisticated devices used, they were searching. One of the men that I work with was involved in that search, helping to search, and the men spaced out fairly close together and walked, and you know, Project 70 is a huge area. To my knowledge, they called off the search and they didn't find him. They don't know where he is. Perhaps he's there. They don't know where he is. God knows where he is. Then my mind also went to the Secret Service personnel that watch around the president of our country and other figures of high importance. But you know, they too can only go so far in what they can learn, and in how far they can protect, and in what they can discern. I understand 3 months or so before the president travels into another country or another area, 3 months before, the law enforcement Secret Service people are there, and they are discerning and making preparations for the president to come, making sure it's safe. But they too can only go so far. Well, this morning, we believe in God, don't we? And I appreciated the songs that were sung. I felt they were spirit-led. We serve a God who is real, a God who knows. A God who knows every detail of our lives. And the aim of this message is to strengthen our love and commitment to God, and to revive our walk before Him, our dedication, our commitment, our acknowledgement of His power in our lives. I'd like to read this psalm at this time. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And you can think with me as we read this and contrast your abilities and God's abilities. How small we are in light of Him. Verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy presence, or whither shall I flee? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in all thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Just pause there a moment and just think about that. This verse says, how precious are so are thy thoughts, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. How many sand kernels are there? We don't know. But God says that he thinks about us, and are his thoughts toward us are more than number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this morning the question is, how do you view God? How do I view God? We are told that our view of God is largely formed by our Father, our earthly Father. And I believe that is correct. However, I want to say that our God is a great God. And if you had an earthly father who has misrepresented to you the image of God, and you've had an earthly father who has mistreated you, if that is unfortunately your lot today, the God who we serve is far and beyond that experience to you. The God that we serve is a God of miracles. He's a God who cares. He's a God who is in the restoration business, if you can call it. He's a God who restores. He's a God who takes broken things and makes them whole again. And we do not have to wander through life with a downcast approach to living life because our earthly father has left us down. But how is your... what is your view of God today? An angry God? A loving God? A gentle God? How do you view him? It's good for us to think about that. Is he a God of mercy? Well, he is all those. The Bible says that we understand, I should say it this way, we understand that because of who God is, he is unable to lie, and we understand that his love and his mercy operate alongside of his justice and his truth and his... he's a God of structure, a God of order. I think the Bible talks about God being angry, but there's a reason that God's anger is stirred. God's anger is stirred at sin, but yet he loves us and reaches out to us. My view of God will have a direct impact on my view of the world and the choices that I make in life. How I view God and how I view him will have a direct impact on my choices that I make. We'd like to look at a few points. Number one is this. God's knowledge is without need of deeper understanding. And what I simply mean by that is this. Compare your knowledge with what you have in relation to your life. Maybe you're involved in mechanics. Maybe you're involved in building. You're involved in cooking and sewing, baking. We have always a need in our lives for more knowledge. We want to learn more. We want to learn how to do it better. But God's knowledge, He has complete knowledge. He knows it all, right? God has complete knowledge of all things. He knows the conclusion before the book is written. He knows that. I do not want to get into this more because I do not want to take the time, but it's something for you to think about. And that is the idea I believe, and I can't take you to scripture verses right now, so I'm not going to go into it further, but there is God's foreordained will. God foreordained that salvation will be provided for us. It's foreordained. There is also God's foreknowledge, or He knows. We need to be careful in life as we view things that happen. Accidents and deaths. Sometimes we run down the road of fatalism where it's all planned. Does God foreordain that we're going to have hardship? Something for you to think about. Or is it His foreknowledge? He knows it's going to happen. Something for you to think about. God knows it all. And we understand that God has supreme authority. God's knowledge is without the need of deeper understanding. He is Creator God. We sang about that. This attribute of God we call His omniscience. Omni meaning all, and scient being knowing. He's all knowing. He's all skillful. God knows everything because He is God. He created the laws of science. God created those laws. If you jump off of a building, the laws of science say you're going to fall with gravity and you're going to hit the ground. That's the laws of science. But God's knowledge, or God's power, we could say, God's knowledge transcends beyond the laws of science. God does not need to operate within the laws of science. Henceforth, we have things like the other weekend, there was a little baby here who the grandpa told me that she's a miracle baby. The doctors didn't expect her to live. But she's living today. God's is not bound to the laws of science. Verse 1, well, how does the fact that God is all-knowing relate? How does that affect me? Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. God knows me and He searches me. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows them. He's foreknowing, foreknowledge. He knows the path that I have walked, the path I am walking, and He knows the path that I will walk. Now, Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 also say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, if I have that correct. So our minds, we start to get fuzzy, don't we, when we think about God and who He is and how He operates. The Lord looketh from heaven. Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. He understands. He's all knowing. Number two is God's presence. We're talking about our great God, and we're talking about his presence. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, sometimes we play hide and seek, and you want to hide, and you don't want people to see where you're hiding, because you want to run, and you want to get free. God knows. Nowhere we can go that we can hide from him. There are no limits to God's presence. He is everywhere at all times. Jeremiah 23:23-24. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Think of Jonah. Jonah thought he could run from God, didn't he? But God knew where he was. Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves, but it was of no use. God knew where they were. He said, "Where art thou, Adam?" But God knew where they were. Right now, the International Space Station, I understand, is able to be seen at night. Tonight, is it 9:30 or something? If you look at the right spot, you'll be able to see the International Space Station go across the sky. But you know, even in that spot, God knows. God knows where they are. God knows it all. God knows where you are. The weak hours are the wee hours of the morning when you cannot sleep. And you're awake and your thoughts are going. God knows you. God knows where you are. But you know what is really amazing? It's not even the right word. So this great God wants to dwell within the hearts of his people. With his spirit. He wants to live within our hearts. Directing our thoughts, directing our ways. How is your tabernacle, how is your building? Is your building prepared for God to live in? How is your heart today? God desires to dwell within the hearts of those who are broken before him. Isaiah 57, verse 15. I'm going to just turn back there. It's encouraging words. Isaiah 57, in verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth the eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Notice, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants to dwell within us for revision, for revival in our heart, to revive us. The proof of God's existence is not based upon man's ability to prove it, but rather on man's acceptance of his power to heal man's deepest need. The proof of God's existence is not based upon man's ability to prove it, that God exists, but rather on man's acceptance of his power to heal his deepest needs. It is only God in his power. That's getting into the next point, but It is God, who we talked about, was it Brother Lefford shared about how the Spirit speaks to those who read the messages on the gospel signs. Or it is God's power and His Spirit who can reach anyone on the globe, anywhere, and call them to Himself. And it is God's power that is able to take someone who is in the pit of sin and to, when they call upon God, they sense their need. See, what I said, it's man's ability. It's man's acceptance of His power. The acceptance of God's provision unleashes within our heart the realization that, yes, He is real. The burden of sin that weighs upon us and the guilt. And then the forgiveness that we feel upon, that we experience upon confession, is God's love. It's because God lives that is possible. The change that comes about as a person surrenders to Him. God's power is without limit. I was talking some about that already. We call this His omnipotence. He is all potent. He is all powerful. God's power is not limited to man's understanding of science. I said that before. Notice here in the latter verses of our Psalm 139 that we read, it is God who created us. He saw us. His thoughts, as I mentioned before, are more than the sand. What a great God we serve. It is a year ago today that my nephew Justin passed away. My brother and his family are here today. But through that experience, it was God's power and His grace that enabled us and them to continue on. It's that same grace and power that's available today, a year later, to continue on. A year ago, right now, I think. I'm not sure if we were at the hospital. He passed away around 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure where we were, if we were at the Ronald McDonald House, just simply trying to collect our thoughts. I'm not sure anymore where we were at this time. But God's power is without limit. It's without limit. At work, I deal with hydraulics, and some of the hydraulic pumps have power limiters on them. And a power limiter is simply that. It limits the power so the electric motor doesn't stall out or blow a fuse or whatever. It limits the power. There's no power limiter. God's power will not run out. Are we availing ourselves of His power in our lives? The surrendered heart to God, surrendering to Him, well, God's power. With God's power, numbers are not the deciding factor, but a heart that's turned toward Him is. You know, I talked about some of these. We could think of some snapshots of God's power, like little snapshots. You think of creation. Everything that He created and the vastness of His creation. I came across a statistic this week that I hardly can believe, but I'm taking it as being true because I have credibility in where I read it, or I believe in where I read it from, but there's some really huge whales, apparently, in the sea. And I've read that One of these big whales, and I can't tell you the name of it now, but its tongue is 6,000 to 8,000 pounds. That seems unbelievable to me. But that's what I read. But our great God, he made the whale, but he also made that little microscopic part. And it all works together. It all works together. Salvation's provided. What a miracle. We can think of the powerful weather systems that happen. God's power. And man stands in awe and says, wow. But you know, and just think with me here a little bit. In Luke 22, in verse 42, is the story of Jesus in the garden. And he is in the garden and he's wrestling with what is before him. Isn't it an example of great power when Jesus said, you know, Father, let this cup pass from me, but if not, not my will, thy will be done. You know, there are things in life that we would rather not surrender to. We would rather not come under. We know what lies ahead, and we would rather not, you know, if it be possible, Lord, just let this cup pass from me. Just let it go. But you know, it is the power of God that enables a Christian to surrender to those things and not be crushed by them. It's God's power available for us. I say that in my own heart. I'm not sure if I even know what I'm saying, but to be able to go on, you see, that power is available. The power of God is available for our need. Well, what is my response? Last point. What is my response to our great God? As I view God's attributes, as I learn, what do I learn? Well, I learn this. Number one, I learn that there is nowhere I can go that I am hid from God's presence. There's nowhere I can go that I am hid from Him. He can see me everywhere. I learn, number two, that there is nothing about me that God does not know. Very elementary, but that's brings comfort to my heart. There's nothing about me that God does not know. He understands me because He is God. He created me for a purpose. They say there are two important days in a person's life, and one is the day he is born. The other one is the day that he understands the reason he was born. The day he was born, and the other one is the day he understands the reason he was born, and that reason being to serve the Lord and beyond. God has a work for us all to do. And number three, what is my response? What is this? What do I learn? I learn that there is nothing that God cannot do. His power is beyond limits. Now, as I say that, all right, so our children sometimes say, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? It's sort of a pointless question. God can do everything. However, we as human beings have a choice. We have a choice. You know, it's sort of like a cook prepares a good meal, and it's all sitting on the table, and it's all the things that you would like. Think of your delicious, most delicious foods, and it's sitting on the table. And she says, come, dinner's ready. And no one comes. You see, You have a choice to walk up to the table, to sit down and enjoy it. The cook most likely will not go and grab you and force you to sit down and start forcing the food into your face, into your mouth. She doesn't do that. See, we have a choice. And what I'm saying is simply that. We have a choice of how we're going to respond to God's power in our life and to God's presence. The sinner has a choice to decide if he's going to accept the provision or if he's going to reject the provision. But on God's part, it's all done. It's all ready. The only thing that hinders God's power in my life is my unwillingness to surrender to his lordship. I'd like to turn here now in closing to Revelation chapter 3. I want to read a few verses just in conclusion. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I see communion, I see relationship. To him that overcometh, I see a battle here. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Did you notice that Jesus says, even as I also overcame? The power is there. The Lord knows our every weakness. He had a battle to fight too when he was here as a man on the earth. The Bible says that he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Sit down with my Father on his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Today, how is it with you in life? Our great God. I like to read a song that I really enjoy. It's in the Christian hymnal. It's number 53. But I'd just like to read this song in conclusion here. The title is, O God, Thy Power is Wonderful. O God, Thy Power is Wonderful. Thy glory passing bright, thy wisdom with its deep on deep, a rapture to the sight. I see thee in the eternal years in glory all alone, ere round thine uncreated fires created light had shone. I see thee walk in Eden's shade, I see thee all through time. Thy patience and compassion seem new attributes sublime. I see thee when the doom is o'er and outworn time is done, still incomprehensible, O God, yet not alone. In the last verse, O little heart of mine, shall pain or sorrow make thee moan when all this God is all for thee, a Father all thine own? You know, we have sorrow in life, and rightly so, we're human. And I do not think it's good to just simply stuff those emotions in and not share them and show them and deal with what we feel and what we're going through. But can you imagine going through those things without Father in heaven that we can trust in? Humans fail us. At times we're hurt. But you know, there's a path forward as we trust the Lord. Time is a healer in its own way. But let us, as a church body, band together. In love, reach out to each other. Uphold each other. In compassion and patience, and spurring each other on, because sometime, maybe before the service is over, time will be no more, and we will go to meet our Maker. Thank you for your prayers and your kind attention. Let's kneel to prayer.